Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Wednesday, July 15th. I'm Sarith Hawk. California's poet laureate Lee Herrick reflects on his roots and what it means to call the Central Valley home in his poem, My California.
When I wrote that poem, it was one of the first times I remember thinking very specifically, this is my state too. I am as Californian as anyone.
Now the poem is inside the America 250 time capsule. We speak with him about how his diverse background shaped his writing. But first, these headlines. The Fresno County Board of Supervisors has shot down a proposed home kitchen ordinance. On Tuesday, supervisors voted 3-2 against the MECO ordinance. It stands for Micro Enterprise Home Kitchen Operations. The proposal would have allowed the county to adopt a pilot program for food entrepreneurs to make and sell freshly prepared food from their home. Veva Islas is the executive director of public health advocacy group Cultiva La Salud, a major supporter of the ordinance.
I think that MECO was very thoughtfully written at the state level. It has all of these safeguards already in place, and Fresno County is a county who could really benefit from this type of economic opportunity for very disadvantaged food vendors who are willing to put in the time, willing to make sure they can pass the inspections, get their food handling certification.
But some county supervisors were concerned that inspections were not up to food safety standards. Currently, about 19 other counties in California have adopted a MECO ordinance. A Valley City will fine landlords $1,000 a day for not correcting violations on their properties. Alma Villegas from our news partner, the Merced Focus, reports.
The fines are part of a new ordinance by the Merced City Council. The fees were approved last week. The ordinance is called the Repeat Housing Code Violators Program, and it will penalize rental property owners who accumulate 3 housing code violations within a year. These property owners will be labeled chronic offenders and included in a registry reviewed annually and posted on the city's website. Landlords will also be given time to fix violations before accruing the fines. The ordinance is significant because a majority of residents in Merced are renters. Fewer than half live in owner-occupied units. In Merced, I'm Alma Villegas.
The Fresno Arts Council has a new leader after an embezzlement case rocked the organization earlier this year. The council announced this week that Lauren Nickel will take over as executive director. Nickel has experience in cultural arts organizing, according to the Arts Council. She will be tasked with repairing the trust with the Fresno arts community after more than $1 million in arts funding went missing. The nonprofit's former executive director alerted the city about the missing funds earlier this year. A former operations manager pleaded guilty in April to stealing the funds.
Explore the history of the people and places of our region with KVPR's Central Valley Roots. I'm the host, Joe Moore. Every new episode, I bring you little-known stories of our region. Find the latest episode of Central Valley Roots wherever you get your podcasts or visit kvpr.org/roots.
And now to our main story. What does it mean to be from California? For California poet laureate Lee Herrick, the answer was inspired by his own experiences as a longtime Fresno resident. The Central Valley became a symbol of the state's multiculturalism, bounty of agriculture, and artistry. Here, he reads a portion of his poem, My California.
Here, in my California, the streets remember the Chicano poet whose songs still bank off Fresno's beer-soaked gutters and almond trees in partial blossom. Here, in my California, We fish out long noodles from the pho with such accuracy, you'd know we'd done this before. In Fresno, the bullets tire of themselves and begin to pray 5 times a day. In Fresno, we hope for less of the police state and more of a state of grace.
That poem was recently included in the America 250 time capsule. It's one of several items that will showcase California when the capsule is opened 250 years from now. In my conversation with Herrick, he talks about the genesis of the poem and how its meaning could both evolve and stay timeless for generations to come.
I was very taken aback, as I think any person would be, that one of my poems was going into it. I had to reread the email a couple of times and try to wrap my brain around what that meant, you know, and I started to look into what the time capsule would be and things like that. But it was very exciting and got me thinking about the history and the future of not only California, but of the United States.
Yeah, I'm sure that it's very hard to wrap your head around 250 years from now, it being opened. Do you think that this poem is in a way timeless for California, or does it capture something that was a moment or an instance?
It's a good question. I balk at calling anything that I write timeless, but if you mean, are there themes in the poem that people 250 years ago thought about or certainly mindful of today and that I hope might be part of the American consciousness in 2276 when they open it, then yes. So for example, you know, when I wrote My California, I was very much thinking about things that I've seen and things that I've remembered.
How long ago was it that you wrote that?
I actually wrote it in about 2008.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it was during the presidential election cycle.
Almost 20 years ago.
Yeah, with Obama. And I was thinking about what kind of country and state we envision. So I think those kinds of things are timeless. I think people I've met, any age, demographic, background, they all have opinions about where they live. And I think they also all have ideas for it and how it could be improved upon. So, yeah, maybe there is an element in the poem that people could relate to when it's opened.
And it also speaks a lot about who is writing it, because you embody, I think, a lot of the themes that we're seeing in this poem, which is diversity in culture, in regions. You were adopted as a baby from South Korea. You came to the U.S. You've been in California your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
You've lived in different regions. How did that contribute to how you wrote this?
You know, I think that a word you used there to embody is very closely related to my experience and how I see writing. And that is to say that our histories, our ancestry, our experiences, our cultures make their way into our writing if we are being as pure to the writing and that ancestry as we can. It just might manifest in a certain genre or style or experience. But it's completely impacted how I see California and the world. I was adopted when I was about 10 months old, and I was adopted into a white family, into the Bay Area. And so I've always seen, or I've always been sensitive to otherness in whatever form that might be, certainly racially or ethnically. You know, I've very much felt like an outsider a lot. But when I wrote that poem, it was one of the first times I remember thinking very specifically, this is my state too. I am as Californian as anyone. And now, you know, I'm 55 and I travel the state and I talk about poetry. I've learned some fun statistics that I like to mention. And it sort of continues to echo how I see California. For example, one out of every four Californians was born outside of the United States.
Wow.
And that's a beautiful part of this state. And I think it's one of the things that I hope we can continue, or we can begin to harness as a strength a little bit more than we have in our country's young history. But yeah, absolutely. My upbringing, my background informs a lot of how I see the world and write about it.
And now you live in Fresno. You live and work in Fresno. You've been here for how long? Over 25 years, as I understand, right?
Yeah, almost 30 years, yeah.
And I want to quickly go back to your poem, because a good chunk of it mentions Fresno and references the Central Valley. Were you living here when you wrote that poem?
I was. I had been here maybe 10 years. And you know that little saying, I don't know if that's Gladwell, they say it takes 10 years to really understand or master something, if you can ever master something. But I've been living here for about 10 years, and, you know, in the poem, for example, the Chicano poet whose songs still bank off Fresno's beer-soaked gutters, that's a reference to the first poet I met when I moved here, the late, great Andres Montoya.
Oh, yes.
He was my first friend in poetry here, and through Andres, I met the work of many other Fresno poets and writers. He started to acquaint me with some of the Armenian writers and great poets from this area. You know, the line, "We hope for less of the police state and more of a state of grace." I really might have written just, "I hope for less of those things and more of those things." But that also is a signal of membership or ownership, changing the I to the we. So there are a lot of political or socio-political things in the poem, but there's also, in my mind, some craft things that I was really trying to employ, certain things with rhythm and repetend and things like that. But I think it has a maybe a Fresno element to it. There's certainly a lot of references in that poem.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting, because it's really important that you represent Fresno, first of all, but you're also California's poet laureate. I'm just wondering, you know, how does your perspective of being in Fresno sort of inform your view as a poet? Does that sort of infuse itself in your work throughout the state?
One of the things I think of with Fresno, and also Fresno poets, as I came to learn about them and as I know them, and where my experience parallels that, one of the things I love about Fresno and the Fresno poets is the work ethic. And I've seen that in so many other industries, the work ethic, the grit, the sweat, and the being unafraid of that work and sweat. And so a lot of that for me stems from the agriculture here. The work ethic in, you know, whether it's my wife's early experiences, my friends or students who have experiences. I've got cousins in Southern California who are farmers. And so I think that's very much a part of it. I've always seen the work that poetry communities do throughout the state. And it's also one of the things I think I sort of gravitate towards when I'm traveling. But it's been very joyful serving in the role, Sarith. It's been incredible.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to be here, Lee. This was wonderful to speak with you and just to learn more about your poem, and congratulations again.
Oh, thank you, Sarith.
And that's today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR. I'm Sarith Hawk. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Each story you hear on Planet Money starts with a question. What happens if we refund tariffs? Why are groceries so expensive? At NPR, we stand for your right to be curious, because the forces shaping our world can be hard to see. Follow NPR's Planet Money wherever you get your podcasts and start seeing how the economy really works.